Welcome to Passive Income Pilots, where pilots upgrade their money. This is the definitive source for personal finance and investment tactics for aviators. We interview world-renowned experts and share these lessons with the flying community. So if you're ready for practical knowledge and insights, let's roll. Joe, thank you so much for coming back on the show.
Yeah, thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
Well, quite a lot's changed or been written or decided upon since our last episode, which was episode number
51.
All right, 51, where we had Joe on to talk about pilot mental health, changes that were coming to aviation medical certificates. I think this is really important, whether you're a passenger who's maybe concerned about your pilot mental health, or you're a pilot who's trying to go out there and seek medical treatment and maybe need help and we're maybe afraid to do that because of the restrictive regulations. But we're bringing Joe back to talk about, hey, what happened? What's going on? What's the latest and greatest?
Yeah, absolutely. So when we left off on that episode, we just had the ARC came out. And the ARC was pretty robust, definitely more robust than any ARC that we've seen before, where, if I'm not mistaken, it was something like 24 to 26 recommendations, somewhere in there, about what the FAA needs to improve upon, with focus, of course, on mental health. The big question was, what's the FAA going to do, right? They could take the ARC and they could say, hey, thank you very much for the suggestions. Thank you for the recommendations. And then go about business as usual, which we all kind of thought was going to start happening. Certainly look like that. Or they could start changing some policies, changing some khakis, changing some guidelines. Fortunately, I am pleased to announce that they have chosen the latter. And we do have some changes now. So we have quite a bit. We've had a lot of AME updates that come out in the guidelines in the khaki world. For listeners who are not aware, the FAA publishes on their guideline, the AME guideline page. You can Google it. You don't have to be an AME or a doctor. And you can see the updated criteria for each condition and new things that they come out with. For example, they added a weight loss medication back in January. And that was thrown in on the new list. So literally anything having to do with aeromedical conditions being updated, changed, all that good stuff, you can find it on the AME guideline page.
Well, we will link to that in the show notes.
Perfect. Yeah, sounds good.
Look down at your show notes while you're listening to this episode. You can follow along.
That's awesome. So if we go back to kind of the start of the year a little bit, they expanded and put new antidepressants in the list. So we got SNRIs. So we just had five right around the time of the ARC. We had Wellbutrin got added to the list of Celexa, Lexpro, Prozac, and Zoloft. Then we had SNRIs added to that list now. We had Cymbalta is one that's commonly used that we see clinically a lot. We had Effexor got added to the list. Again, that's another one that we commonly see. The nice thing as well is they added pretty defined notes. And that's usually always the question is, Joe, I'm not taking one that is on that list. I'm not taking a medication that's on that list, an SNRI or an SSRI that's not on the list. What do we think? Am I going to get through? So nice thing about that came out in April is we got some notes. We got some clear notes. Then we got a new table altogether for mental health conditions such as PTSD. PTSD has been a very big one with the VA investigation, which, by the way, is still ongoing. We have not seen any change with that. I know there's going to be a lot of people asking about that. That is still one of the most frustrating things that I've ever seen in aviation. That is still going on right now. But we got a PTSD tool. So we had different classifications of PTSD now, uncomplicated anxiety, depression, and related conditions that an AME can use in the decision of whether to issue at the time of the medical application or whether to defer the issue down to CAMI or on Federal Air Surgeon's Office. That came out in May. That was a big drop for us. That was May 29th. In addition to that, we got new very, very recently. We got new criteria for TBIs, which again kind of goes to the mental health side. A lot of times they were one and the same. So we got new neurological evaluations for neurocognitive impairment. And then we now have a brand new AME tool for deciding seasonal depression, a new accelerated fast track for anxiety, kind of the catch-alls, right, that the FAA was really, really big on, the generalized anxiety disorder, the GAD, the seasonal depression, the adjustment disorder, all that good stuff. We now have a fast track where an AME can look at it and say, all right, does the airman meet A, B, C, and D? If they do, I can issue a medical. If they don't, I got to defer to CAMI and to Oak City. Still not super fantastic. but much better for sure.
This is great to hear that there's some movement. How does the rubber meet the road here? Because, you know, we talked a lot about, you know, folks that might be struggling with a family member passing away, you know, and seeking therapy. What's the story on therapy now? Can you do that? Or because you're going to have to go through something to get to the SSRIs. SSRIs stand for?
The selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors.
Reuptake inhibitor. Okay.
Yeah.
So you have to go through some sort of medical professional to get there, right? So what does that path look like? Are they still having to check the box when they're going through it to say that, yes, I got professional counseling? Or how does this work now? Are there any changes to that part of it?
Great question. There are no changes so far that we've seen to the 8500, especially box 19, which is, I think the question that you're asking there is, 19, have you seen a medical professional in the last 3 years? And on 19, it was, have you seen a medical professional having to do with counseling, not a counselor? The counseling signifying that you need to report counselors, therapists, psychiatrists, psychologists, all that good stuff. So that still needs to happen. We've not seen any changes to the 8500. However, the new fast track that came out, literally it came out June 26, 2024 for anxiety, depression, and quote, other related conditions. We do have diagnoses or symptomology that an AME can check the box, yes, that existed, or yes, that exists, and I can still issue as a doctor. So you can still have a diagnosis like generalized anxiety disorder. Have you been treated in the past 2 years is one of the criteria, yes or no? Have there been medications used because of it, yes or no? Which ones? And then is there a history? Is this recurrent, right? Is this something that has come up over and over throughout life? Is this something that is situational, like a loved one passing or something like that? And depending on those answers, it's a pretty exhaustive list. There's 9 criteria on that. If, depending on the answers, the AME can issue a medical at the end of that. So that even though it was reported under the 8500, that does not mean, like in the past, that an airman had no ability to walk out of that office with a medical or not.
That is fantastic.
Joe, overall, rank this at from a 1 to a 10. 10 being, you know, this is good, you're satisfied. A 1 being, this sucked. What would you give it a score on?
Okay. Yeah, great question. All right. So, oh man, that is a fantastic question. So I'll tell you, I'm very excited. This has been, as y'all know, you know, I was beginning to wonder if I was ever going to just die on this hill of no change, no recognition of mental health, no recognition of any sort of situational anxiety, depression, anything like that. I thought the FA was just going to sit in their rut and we were never going to see an advancement. So I will say an 8. I'm super excited.
Wow, it's fantastic.
That not only did the ARC come out, but that the FAA said, you know what, we're going to start taking some of these recommendations and we're just going to throw them in now. Instead of waiting for the next 5 years, we're going to start implementing them now. And that is a big pressure, a big thank you to this industry, to people like y'all, to senators, to, I mean, this has been all over the board of people not taking their foot off the gas on this and holding the FAA accountable, saying, hey, this is real. Pilots are humans, and we need the regulations, the policies, the guidelines to reflect that.
It's fantastic.
That's amazing.
That's so cool.
Is there any continuation? Is there like another follow-up, or is this just, it's finalized, it's done, it's been adopted?
So all we've seen now is policy changes. We've just seen changes in the AME guidelines and the CACI tables. We have not seen regulation changes yet. I know Senator Kasten put forward a bill to try and make some regulation change to have the regs reflect what the CACIs are saying, what the guidelines are saying, but we've not seen anything like that. So the work is far from over. We still have a lot to push it to do. It'd be fantastic to have the regulations reflect this dynamic period right now in aeromedical history. As of now, they don't. I am very excited, I will tell you, for the recent decision of Chevron. I'm looking forward to seeing how that's going to affect the FAA, and more specifically, how that's going to affect decisions that come out of the Federal Air Surgeon's Office.
Can you recap that for anybody that hasn't been following along?
Sure. Yeah. The Chevron doctrine is something that has stood for a very long time in this country. And very simply, I know I'm going to have like a bunch of historical legal scholars jump down my throat on this, but very simply, the explain it like I'm 5 version of this is courts would always defer to the administrations with regards to the interpretation of their regulations. So a great one on this is like 91.119, right? Says that we're allowed to deviate from altitudes in an airport environment as long as we're either taking off or landing from a quote unquote suitable runway, right? So under the Chevron standard, if that were to go in front of a court, the court would defer to the FAA for what is suitable, right? It's your regulation. FAA, you wrote it, you enforce it, you tell us what suitable is. And the FAA could say, well, this is suitable in our eyes. And then the courts would say, all right, thank you. Yeah, it's your regulation. We believe you. The fall of Chevron now is you got to introduce evidence, right? So the FAA would have to put forward evidence saying this is what we think a suitable landing is under 91.118. And I could put forward a bunch of experts saying, no, I disagree. This is what a suitable landing is with the industry. And then those experts would go together and a judge would weigh it and go, I think the regulations mean this. Joe wins.
Very, very interesting. I love seeing that from an aviation context. That helps to really break it down. Thanks.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Can anything be made retroactive from what has been approved?
In what way?
So like, let's say I was on some type of medication before that knocked me offline and now it's approved. So does CAMI then release? I mean, did a bunch of pilots just get their medicals back potentially? No?
Unfortunately, no. We have been trying that with the PTSD side of the house. So the PTSD side of the house, you know, in a big VA investigation, there were veterans that got implicated for lying on their medical, quote unquote, for fraudulently executing their 8500. And these pilots were saying, Joe, I've never treated for this in my life. Like I've never seen a psychologist, a psychiatrist. The VA gave me a percentage, but like I don't treat for PTSD. It's not even part of my mental. Those people we have put forward under the new protocol and said, hey, you guys can issue AMEs. You can now issue a medical to these individuals. And I can tell you that a lot of them are still not issuing. And I've also had AMEs that would try an issue, but when they issued, the airman's file was still flagged for legal investigation. So it's not getting solved. So it's kind of one of those things like the HIMSS program, right? Where the HIMSS program used to be 5 years. And then all of a sudden, April Fool's Day of 2020, it became lifetime, right? And the pilots who were, you know, set to come out April 21st of the HIMSS program, all of a sudden just got extended for life with, you know, no grandfathering in or anything like that. So I would say the answer is, it's a very long-winded answer, sorry, to what probably could have been a short answer. But I have not yet seen that happen. I haven't seen the windfall of, hey, the regs change, the policy change, excuse me, not the regs change, the policy and the guidelines change, give me my medical now. I've not seen that.
So I want to talk about the applicability of this. Let's say you're someone who's struggling with some short-term anxiety or depression, and you want to move forward with some treatment based on these new regulations. How do they go about that? How does someone go about that? And how do you know that your AME is aware of these new rules? Because I don't know about you, but most of the AMEs that I've been to are about 100 years old. And, you know, how do you know that they're keeping up with something that just dropped? We're recording this on July 10th. You're saying this latest rule came out on June 24th. That was, you know, 16 days ago. So are AMEs really keeping up on this? We had somebody named Dan Monolux come on, who's an AME and who's, you know, the pilot med. He would likely be someone good to go to, but if you don't live in that area, how do you know that you're going to an AME that's going to be symbiotic with these new rule changes?
That is a fantastic question. And you are 100% right. You hit the nail on the head. We are seeing an AME age group that is just aging out. And we're not seeing a lot of AMEs coming in to replace them, mostly because the hoops you have to jump through to become an AME are pretty crazy. You know, the regional gets to choose and then you have to go to this class and in person and then you pay the fees. And so most docs are like, yeah, I don't want to deal with that. And you got to deal with billing yourself. You know, there is no insurance. And then you walk the line of, well, am I really a doctor? Am I an evaluator? Am I a government employee? Am I not a government employee? Because fun fact, there is no written document between AMEs and the FAA. There's no contract that says you will do A and the government will do B. That doesn't exist. It's kind of like a handshake, wow. Like, please evaluate on behalf of us.
Wow.
Here's the 1 week class. So yeah, we are not getting a lot of AMEs replacing the old AMEs coming out. And we are finding that we're having to do a lot of education. And I always laugh because there are still some of those AMEs that are kind of stuck in their old ways of saying, you know, why are you guys involved? This airman doesn't need an attorney and stuff like that. Yet at the same time, we're informing them of the new policy changes and the new guideline changes. Saying, well, this is why we have to be informed because, you know, by definition, you are not an advocate. You can't be an advocate. You have to be an evaluator. So the pilot needs an advocate, somebody who's knocking on the door of the AME's office saying, hey, did you know on June 26th, they defined what the FAA released on May 29th, right?
Right.
Because these policies and guidelines are super dynamic. So yeah, it definitely, you know, if somebody were to go in that situation and say, you know, I just lost a loved one, we always recommend, you know, call an advocate,
yeah.
You know, call an attorney and just say, hey, this is what I have.
It's kind of messed up. So call an attorney before you call a therapist.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, just say, hey, what do we think? You know, what can I do? What can I do? Right. Like before we ring a bell that we can't unring, you know,
right.
And honestly, it's easy to run through these guidelines when you know where they are and say, all right, look, the FAA is going to look for history of this, any involuntary mental holds, hospitalization, suicide attempts, right? Check all those boxes. And if you meet all those boxes to be issued, then awesome. Go get help, right? Go get issued. If not, then be aware of it. I'm not saying don't get help. I'm saying be aware of what you need to do to have successful intervention.
Excellent.
This has just been really helpful. And I think it's important to understand how awesome this is because normally when you have an aviation rulemaking committee, an ARC, I mean, it took more than a decade to change the flight and duty time regulations.
Right.
And so when you know, I mean, this is, they've been working on the flight and duty time regulations since the 90s
yeah.
and hadn't updated them in over 50 years. And so we've been working on that since the 90s. And then they came back, I think, in the 2000s. And then they came back again, 2009 time frame. I think it was like 2008, 2009. And then they came out with something. And then, you know, that was took so long. And so hats off for swift action here to actually change. I kind of agree with you, Joe. I think this is great that we've gotten some major wins. You know, in short order as well. So very good.
I'm excited to see you're very right. I mean, I've never seen this type of dynamic movement from the administration in response to an ARC ever. But I'm just super excited to see what we're going to do with Chevron. I'm wondering if it's going to make a decision, make an impact in how the FAA works these cases or not. Because now the FAA is going to have to substantiate their decisions, right? So they have new policies, new guidelines, and they can no longer put out a letter that says, sorry, you have generalized anxiety disorder. You do not meet the medical criteria. Like that is no longer enough. The FAA can't, if you look at, there's a great case, a great decision that came out of the Court of Appeals, District of Columbia, that was Irwin v. FAA. And that came out in maybe 2021, December of 2021. And that decision, there was a great line from one of the appellate judges that says to the FAA, you cannot be your own expert. You have to substantiate your decisions. And at that time, Chevron was still standing. And at that time, that was more just a shot over the bow, right? Of like, hey, you guys can't be issuing one word letters anymore and one sentence decisions anymore. But now that's not a shot over the bow anymore. That's a shot at the side of the ship. So the FAA literally has to now substantiate their decisions in letters. Otherwise, we're ripe for appeal. We're ripe for the Court of Appeals saying, look, you guys produced your evidence. That was a great sentence that said you're disqualified because of generalized anxiety disorder. Great sentence. Very, very nice structure. Here's what we did clinically. Here's all the experts that we put forward that says that your regulation is, one, arbitrary and capricious, and your decision-making under your own regulation is certainly arbitrary and capricious with your one sentence. So certainly going to be fun. I know we're in line for the Court of Appeals right now, and I'm hoping that we're one of the first that get to test that standard.
That's great.
Well, this is something where I don't think I've ever done this on the show, but I want to pat ourselves on the back for like 30 seconds here and just say, Ryan, I'm so glad that we started this show and we have this platform that can get this kind of information out to the pilot group. Joe, I know you've got a lot of stuff on YouTube and you're doing, you know, amazing work getting this out there. But I'm so happy that we have this platform and we can bring this kind of information to the pilot group. So if you know someone who is struggling, send this episode to them, share this information with them because we're educating and for free, right? But on top of that, we're connecting you, we're expanding your network and putting good Rolodex cards in your pocket, like Joe here, for those times that you need them.
And you got this thing called attorney client privilege, right? You give Joe a dollar, it's private. It's confidential.
Yep.
Right. And so if you're like not sure, if you've got something going on in your life and you don't want to tell somebody, the last person you want to tell first is your AME.
Right? Exactly. Yep.
So like if you're not sure and you want to have attorney-client privilege and you want to protect yourself, call Joe. Joe will tell you exactly what you cannot do. And, you know, if you don't want that, I mean, again, I'm not giving legal advice. I'm just having a friendly conversation, you know. Write the email and mark the email as privileged and confidential so that it's not discoverable, right? And then you can confess to Joe what's going on. And, hey, if you really want to be careful, like, call him and have a conversation so it's not in writing or anything, right? And then just get it out there, get out what you're doing, and then Joe can help you sort of make sure you navigate your whatever you're going through and protect your medical and help you get the help that you need. So yeah, I echo Tate. I think this is great to get this and share this information out there. I know this is a passive income pilot show, but guess what, guys? Like if you're a pilot and you're listening to the show, like losing your medical kind of gets rid of a lot of income. So that's why we want to have this kind of information out there. And so yeah, I just really appreciate you, Joe, coming back to the show, giving us an update. I got to be honest, I've got 4 years of experience working on Capitol Hill and working on aviation rulemaking committees and seeing this whole process from the inside out. This is like, I cannot believe how fast this happened. And so hats off to the FAA, hats off to all those members on the ARC, because these aren't like paid people that work for the FAA. Like they're taking their time, they're going to DC, they're working their butts off, they're spending long hours and long days making these recommendations, they're doing tons of studies. Trust me, I've seen it. And you know, we think that, you know, it's the FAA doing all this stuff. Like there's people that committed their life, you know, their time and out of their schedule to go to DC and sit through these aviation rulemaking committees and help make it better for the industry. So I know that goes underappreciated, but I just want to say, you know, thank you to the members of the ARC that moved quickly and made this happen. So
big time.
I agree. I'll echo both of your sentiments. I can remember a long time ago where I think I put out on LinkedIn, I said, hey, if all of us just don't fly for one day, there has to be something. There has to be some change. The FAA has to listen to us. We have to get change in that way. Like there has to be something monumental and symbolic and some sort of tide shifting movement for the government to listen to us and give pilots a little bit more power on our future, on our health, on our ability to serve the public and fly it and live the life that we love. And I remember that being like a prolific, like I had just reached the end of it. I was just so frustrated with no change. And I feel like that's happened. Like, I know we haven't done that. I know we haven't all just stopped one day, but I feel like that's happened. I feel like this industry we've all just kind of joined arms and said, that's it. Let's just go. Let's just get this change done. I feel like we got the support from, you know, podcasts like y'all. I mean, this is like so many people have reached out about that episode and talking about this. And we got support from Capitol Hill. We got support from state representatives. I feel like even though we didn't do that, you know, let's all not fly for a day, we did. We had a huge shift in the industry. And this is exactly what can happen if all of us just say, hey, we're human. We need help. Please listen to us.
Yeah.
We can get change done immediately. Big thanks to you two for doing what you do. And really, really, really proud to be a part of this industry.
That's so great. Well, Joe, we're going to drop your information right in the show notes. If you're listening to this and you or someone you know needs help, remember, contact an attorney before you contact a therapist. We're going to leave your contact information right down there. Feel free to click it.
Thank you all very much.
Thanks for your time, Joe.
Of course. Thank you.
On to the next one.